Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Off the Ropes, episode 23, AEW Dynasty preview show. It's your boy Brett Swinney here. Alongside tonight, we've got Brandon Ogden, Heyo Kyle Owens, and the professor, Matt Diggs. How's it going, guys?
I think Diggs got a different song than I did.
I don't know. His song is definitely different there. I don't know. Not sure what song he's. I'm pretty sure I know what song he's dancing to.
Yeah, I definitely know.
But how's everybody's week going?
Good, man. Pressure, Dave. I am here to deliver the dynasty of AEW, and you know, we don't got the stories that we've got going, but we're about to have some 5-star matches and some bangers galore. So I'm excited.
Can't build your company off that, Diggs. You got to have more than just banger stories. I am very down on AEW right now. Me and Brett talked earlier this week. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be watching this pay-per-view this weekend.
So, Brandon, Kyle has now joined the club officially.
Welcome aboard.
Well,
and I have
to get. I've actually got his. I've got his device. I've got to get it set up. I just got it today, so he will be joining the club this weekend.
And I have Tony Khan to thank for that, because if he wasn't putting out terrible television on AEW, then I wouldn't have had to do this. I would have paid the $50 like a like a normal shill. But no, not doing that anymore.
This is why I don't get approved for credentials, I think, because of people like you talking about where we can buy our illegal pay-per-view hacking devices. But
listen, man.
Can you do?
I just want better TV. That's all.
Got to do what you got to do, right? I mean, you know, first it was Brandon kind of came over, and then Jeremy followed. Now it's Kyle. Diggs, you're next.
But every time Jeremy can't watch the Rangers, he gets upset.
He can't find them. It's not that hard to find. You just got to look. I mean, I don't know what he's doing.
My six-year-old finds them. So
I'm mixed on the reviews, because Brandon has had no issues with it, really. And Jeremy has nothing but issues with it, it seems. So I hope I end up on Brandon's side of things.
Yeah, but look, I haven't had issues either. So, you know, that's 2 out of 3.
Yeah, but you're Mr. Tech guy. You shouldn't have issues.
Anything with Jeremy is absolutely user error. So don't worry about Jeremy's experience. Jeremy can't even turn on a light.
Why is Jeremy catching strays? Let's not worry about him.
His experiences.
Why is Jeremy here catching strays? He's not even here. He's still catching shots.
I think it's Matt's way of trying to antagonize him back onto the show.
Yeah, well, it might work one day.
I mean, he can't pick matches. He can't pick football games. I don't know how he coaches half the time. So we just got to give him a little bit of a break.
Oh, man. Oh, well, let's
maybe he can teach U.S. history. I don't know. I'm looking for the best in Jeremy.
Well, we'll see. I mean, looking at the last pick, him. He didn't do too bad. He was ahead of you, Professor.
Well, because we didn't get to actually verify it. I mean, you're mathematician last week. You know, we had Brandon calling you out saying, no, I've got footage here of you picking wrong. So you are, a little bit of skeptical.
You were last. We'll you were dead last, I will say, on last time, Matt. So it's okay. The pick 'em champ can always win, right?
Can't always. But I was, what, one game away from first? I mean, come on.
I missed the Mania review. How did I do on my picks at Mania?
You tied for first. You and Brandon had 10.
Good job, Brandon.
Hey, I got some breaking news.
Breaking news, all right.
It's AEW related. I don't really consider it a spoiler. If it is, I'm sorry. But it's AEW related. But Carlos Cabrera is now all elite and is joining the commentary team as of tonight. So,
Okay.
Is that the Detroit Tigers hitter right there?
Oh, that's Miguel Cabrera.
No,
it's his twin cousin as Drupal.
I thought we were getting some baseball. I know we got the Rangers against the Tigers right now, so I thought they might be doing a little bit of crossover.
This guy used to be on the Spanish podcast at WWE, but I don't know if they're. If that's what I'm doing, AEW tours, he's just gonna be on the main one. I don't.
That's interesting. Okay.
And I don't know who they got rid of, if they who he's replacing.
Breaking, Told you, Brandon. Dirt cheap Brandon comes through again.
Dirt cheap. There he is.
That was from Tony Khan himself. So.
Oh.
Oh. Well, you got.
Can't get more official than that.
Yeah. All right. Let's. I'll be honest with you guys. I like several of you. I haven't followed AEW as much just because it's just not the same AEW that when it started. Like, it's just kind of been lately. So I haven't followed as much, but I did get down and look at the card a little bit earlier just because I wanted to see. I knew what kind of matches were coming, a few of them. But I think the professor's onto something. We could have some really, really good matches in the ring on this pay-per-view just by some of the quality of opponents here. I'm going to start from the bottom because I think the top one is going to be closer to the main event. So we'll start from the bottom and move our way up here.
Kyle is just full of it because Kyle was completely complaining about how bored he was with the undercard with WrestleMania and all of his bathroom matches and this and that. The only thing he seemed to care about were like the top two tier matches on each night, and the rest of the card he had nothing to do with. And tonight he's going to be like, I don't like AEW, but he's like, that's going to be a good match. Oh, that's going to be a good match. I mean, wrestling quality matters at some point. I agree the Bloodline story and The Rock is one of the best stories we've seen historically in the last 15 years. But if everything is placed against that, nothing is going to be worth watching anymore.
Wow. Kyle?
I will say that I thought night two of Mania, every match was a hit. I enjoyed every match on night two. I did not enjoy every match on night one. There was a couple of misses on night one. But overall, I thought it delivered. Now, I have no doubt we are going to see some bangers on this pay-per-view. Tony Khan always delivers on pay-per-views. That's not the issue. The issue is you're giving me nothing story in between these pay-per-views, which then why do I even tune in? Why would I tune in weekly and not? Why wouldn't I just watch the pay-per-views? Because, yes, they're going to be bangers. The matches are going to be awesome. But if that's it, then why am I wasting my time every week with weekly television? That's
absolutely my captivated by that Philadelphia street fight, I'm sure. Just that the storyline build of AOP versus the Street Profits was just legendary, KO. You are so nothing right on your analysis. Every match on night two was just worth watching.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. But I'm just saying, what really turned me off was last week with them showing the Jack Perry and CM Punk stuff. Because it made CM Punk look completely innocent in this thing. Yeah, sure, he pushed him, he shoved him, cool. They're grown men in a sports and entertainment business. Like, altercations are going to happen. No punches were thrown. I don't see how Tony Khan was threatened for his life. Like, they just got egg on their face, and they keep shooting themselves in the foot every single time. And it's like, you have the money, you have the facilities, you have the talent on the roster. You have everything to be successful. Why do you keep shooting yourself in the foot and worrying about what the other company's doing? Just put on good television and have banger matches and great storylines and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Just focus on your product.
They got their feelings hurt. It happens. It happens. And it was embarrassing, and I agree with that. But at the end of the day, no harm, no foul. They got to show CM Punk. They got a rating out of it. Yeah, what can you do?
Yeah.
Like the one day, anyway, where like, you know, there's going to be that stupid title change over on the other program. Nobody's going to care. Oh, Mick Foley, he's going to put butts in seats. I mean, we're not talking that kind of misstep right here. It's just a small thing. You know, it's like the Tony Khan big announcements that, you know, they hired Miguel Cabrera to be their honorary title carrier.
That's every week. Big Tony Khan, huge announcement. It's like every week.
I will say the first like 3 weeks of March, 3 or 4 weeks of March, were excellent television for AEW. And then it fell off a cliff. So, yes, they can turn it around for sure. And it's just a bad slump. Everybody goes through slumps. But I think they're worrying way too much about WWE and everything else that's going on. CM Punk's not even in your company, and you're using him to draw ratings for your show. That makes no sense.
You're also giving ratings to the competitor by doing that.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to go watch CM Punk. He's on Raw.
There was chance of CM Punk on AEW Dynamite when he doesn't even work there. Like, yeah. And he was fired from the company. Yeah. So anyway.
Well,
let's get into this card, Brett.
All right, I'm ready. First match here I got listed. It's Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe. You guys will have to fill me in on this, how that trio evolved. Versus,
don't worry, there's no story. There doesn't need to be. It's a pay-per-view.
Versus the House of Black. On paper, I mean, it's a good – I like all the competitors in this match. I like, you know, of course, Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston, you know what they're going to do. You have – throw in Adam Copeland, the Radar superstar. And House of Black, they can all go. So I think this is going to be an excellent match. It looks like from just kind of reading here, Malakai Black is going after Copeland's title, and that's maybe how this is – Is that correct, guys? That's how this is kind of happening here. But Copeland's a champ. I don't see them going taking him out. I'm going to go with the trio of the Rated R superstar. I'm going to take his team over the House of Black in this one.
My issue here is Adam Copeland. You can finally get the belt on him. You take it off of Christian. You put a belt on him. Next pay per view, no title match. He's in a trios match, and that doesn't make sense. I think it'll be a good match. I wasn't familiar with – like, I knew who the Briscoes were, but I didn't watch the companies they were in. So I never, like – I haven't seen a lot of Briscoe stuff. So, like, I'm seeing Mark Briscoe. I didn't get to really see him with his brother. Like, I knew he had a brother, and I knew they – but I'm not familiar with it. So I'm just not a big fan of his. And it may have been better with a tag team, but as him as himself, it just doesn't resonate with me. And I may be in the minority there. I can admit that if I am, but
he holds the ROH world title now, right? Or a TV or something. Mark Briscoe, do they give him a belt?
There's too many belts to keep up with.
Everybody gets a belt.
Yeah. And then Eddie Kingston, I like Eddie Kingston. Like,
he won
in the ring with, and then and when he's with certain people, he has good stories, but Eddie Kingston in the ring is good, but his storytelling, like if he's not with the right people, like he tells good stories with Moxley or Claudio. But I just, Eddie Kingston is another one that, like, it's not that I dislike him. It's just,
he
doesn't resonate with me a lot either.
He is currently the ROH world champion. So
yeah, well, I don't watch ROH. So
yeah, I don't either. I just looked that up. Cause I was thinking I saw where he had a belt. So you've got, is Kingston still the Continental Champion?
Or Okada.
I have a problem. So you did all that and you put over Eddie Kingston, all those matches. He put up his title. He went through that whole gauntlet and he won it, and they already took it off of him.
Yeah, but Okada,
just came into the company.
Okada's the EVP Bucks. So, I mean,
I know. Oh, that's
it. I'm gonna pick House of Black in this match. I don't really. I just don't. I get your reason of not having Copeland lose, but if you want to give Malakai Black a title shot, the best way is to have his team win. And I mean,
you're gonna pencil him, yes.
House of Black's actually a team, and this other's just three guys thrown together. So, I'll go with the House of Black, but we'll see how the match goes. I mean, Buddy Matthews, Adam Copeland, it may be okay. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree with Brandon. I think we're setting up Malakai versus Copeland at Double or Nothing, which is weird that we're using pay-per-view matches to set up the bigger pay-per-view matches. I guess WWE kind of does that between the big ones and some of the little ones. And for whatever reason, I'm not dirt sheep Brandon over here, but Eddie Kingston has fallen out of favor. I think he's going to take the pin on this match, maybe from Malakai. I mean, he's been jobbing left and right ever since
he's the only one without a belt, Matt. So that's logically, if that's the way the match goes, that's probably what would happen, right? I mean, you wouldn't want to pin one of your champions.
I think he's I think he's still got the NJWP.
I thought that all was like one belt now. Like, remember that?
Cruiserweight.
I don't know. It's weird.
But I'm taking House of Black to win this one to set up Malakai against Adam Copeland, which will be another fantastic match. KO.
You're right. It will be. I love House of Black. I love their whole gimmick. I love everything about them. Love Malakai. Love Brody. Love Buddy. Big fan of House of Black. I like Adam Copeland. He is a champion. Yes, Diggs. I just don't care about this match. I'm with you, Brandon. Like, I knew who the Briscoes were from their tag matches, but I wasn't real familiar with them. And I had sympathy for Mark Briscoe because even though I didn't know him, I mean, losing your brother has to be, you know, the worst. So I had sympathy for him, so I gave him a chance. I just can't get behind him. I have no interest in seeing Mark Briscoe on TV. I just have no interest in Mark Briscoe. Eddie Kingston, I like Eddie, but what does he have to do with this whole situation? Like, it's kind of just thrown together a ragtag group of friends going up against House of Black. I would normally say that the champion's not going to lose, but to y'all's point, House of Black is an actual team. It's setting up Malakai versus Adam Copeland for that TNT championship. So I'm taking House of Black in this one.
All right.
Briscoe gets
and
the KO, pin.
We got three storylines going on because you had Mark Briscoe picked on by the House of Black for a while. It was 3-on-1 and he started getting friends. You got Eddie Kingston. You've got that inherent, you know, weirdness with Briscoe and Kingston because they just fought for the ROH title. So you got that storyline there. You even got Willow coming in, Willow Nightingale coming in and protecting and saving Adam Copeland and taking a mist for them. So you got that storyline going on. And now you got Malakai and Copeland going on. You got stories here. I know you're not interested in the stories, but you've got a build here.
How many of those storylines are on Dynamite? Your flagship?
All of them.
No. I've never seen Briscoe get picked on Dynamite.
Yeah, that's all
on Rampage or Collision.
House of Black's a Collision product. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if Dynamite is your flagship show, right? Even if it doesn't happen on the show, give me a recap of what happened on Collision so I know what's going on in this storyline. I just told y'all off air. I haven't watched Collision in months.
I haven't either, Colin. I think that's what they're trying. If they show you the highlights, then you won't go watch it. Maybe that's why they're doing that. I don't know.
Well, if I see the highlights, then I can get interested in it.
I watched every Collision, and I still don't get this story, so.
But there are storylines. So yes, okay, Diggs, I will give AEW credit. They are giving us storylines. I just don't care about the storyline. Is that fair?
That's fair.
All right, let's move on to the next one. We got the TBS championship match, the house rules match. Julia Hart defends versus Willow Nightingale, as Matt just mentioned. These matches are kind of together. They're kind of using some of the same storylines. Julia Hart is so over right now as far as the champion. I'm sticking with her. I don't think it's Willow Nightingale that takes it. I'm going to go with Julia Hart to win this one, and that'll give one team each a win.
Yeah, I'm a big because we had House of Black winning. So
no, for me.
I know.
That's how I'm going with it. I'm going with one each.
No, I like Julia Hart. I knew when it was time to put the belt on her, and they did, and she's done a good job with it. She's really taken this character. She's one of the bright spots. She's maybe, you know, up until someone recently came, one of two only bright spots in their women's division with her and Timeless Toni Storm, and then now we got Mercedes Moné. But this story with her and Willow, she's another one that doesn't resonate with me, and I'm ready for them to get past this to see what they do with Mercedes Moné. Is it to face Willow or is it to get a title shot at Julia? I'm ready to see what the CEO is going to do. I'm not interested in this match. And also, like with Willow, I'm ready to see if Statlander turns on her or if she turns on Statlander, what goes on with them and Stokely and all that. So I'm more interested in what's going to happen outside of this. I'm ready to get with this match over with and see who Julia faces next. But I take Julia's going to win, and then we'll see what happened. I'm more interested in the after story than the current story.
See, Kale, we keep talking about stories. You know, we got all the intertwining of stories. You got Mercedes Moné over there. You got Willow Nightingale as part of this story. You've got Julia Hart, who is, you know, figuring herself out. I love how she sings her own song as she's walking out and just doesn't even. even really care. She's just like, oh, the house always wins. And she looks so stoic. She's a great bright spot. But Willow, I disagree with you, Brandon, as far as her not – I know you're not getting into her, but I love her vibrance. You got the Chris Statlander stuff going over there. You got the Stokely storyline. What's going to happen with that? I don't think Willow is on Julia Hart's level, so I think Julia Hart is the easy win. But there's all kinds of things that could happen out of this match, and there's all kinds of ways they could take this match. So I'm fascinated to see if we see the development of that storyline within this match as a reason for maybe Willow Nightingale losing this match. But I agree with Brandon as far as I'm taking Julia.
Well, I'm going to take Julia as well. There's no reason to take the title off her and give it to Willow. I'm a fan of Willow. I think she's very good in the ring too. She's very physical. She doesn't let off. She's very physical in the ring, and I like that especially out of the women wrestlers, because sometimes some of them are delicate, but I like the ones like – and Julia Hart's the same way too. She'll get in there and bang with them. So it should be a very good match. I'm taking Julia. Love Julia's gimmick. Love what she's doing. I'm with you too, Diggs. When she's singing on the way to the ring, it's almost like a – she's so confident. She's not worried about what's going on. She's in her own little world, and she is not worried about anything else that's going on. And Rhea Ripley does the same thing. She'll sing her song on the way to the ring too. And I love that when the wrestlers do that. But yeah, give me Julia Hart. I think Willow's going to go back to Statlander and Stokely and get back involved in that story and keep that one going. I think this is just a holdover match to get Julia over until probably Mercedes at some point.
All right, so Julia Hart for the sweep there. Let's go up to the next one here. We got the AEW International Championship match, Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. Man, I've watched enough. I'm really excited about this match. Kyle O'Reilly coming back. I didn't know how long if he'd ever be back. At one point, you know, they were, you know, it was real serious with his injuries. And so I thought, honestly, I was like, oh, he's going to come back. He's just going to join up with Undisputed Kingdom, and that was going to be it. But he did not. And so it's made this a little more interesting. I think that still numbers game is going to be in favor of Roderick Strong. I think he's going to win, but I'm excited for this match. Because both these guys can go. I'm excited to see Kyle O'Reilly back in the ring for an important match. And I think it'll be a good one, but I think the numbers get involved there. Adam Cole and Taven Bennett and those guys, Wardlow. Somebody gets involved in this match and Strong retains, but I don't think this story is going anywhere. I think we're going to see maybe some other twists and turns in this story. And I'd like to see eventually Kyle O'Reilly win. At some point. I just don't think it's right now. Not yet.
I can't wait to see what KO picks here, because you got his other KO, Kyle O'Reilly. And then you got, if KO would have shaved the goatee tonight, he'd have the Roderick Strong mustache going on. And Roderick Strong's doing some of his best work right now. He's been great with the whole yelling, and he had the neck brace. And then, I mean, he's just... the only thing I had a problem with this is I always felt this was the match they were going to give us, and I was wanting this to be the match they give us at Dynasty, but they did it so last second. Like, and I know Kyle O'Reilly kind of came back late, but they just threw this it together on Collision on Saturday. That's when finally Roderick turned on them, and you know, because they were at Collision, or it might have been Diggs might not even know this yet, but
yeah, I don't.
I can't remember what show it was on, but because they
had to be Collision, because he had Rocky Romero going on against for the title eliminator kind of a thing.
But was that a Collision? Okay. I can't remember if that was that or a Battle of the Belts. But
well, then we know me and Kyle haven't seen it.
Yeah. So I knew it was a Rocky Romero thing. So I just couldn't remember I knew it was Saturday night. I just couldn't remember what show it was on. And, but he was doing something with Rocky Romero. And so I just like, I knew they were going to give us this match. I just didn't know when they were going to get to it. And they finally did it, but it was just like, it's kind of thrown together where if you had, cause like it was a week before the show, and yes, they have a story built in already, but I wish they would have given us more time of a back and forth before the pay-per-view with them. But And I pick Roderick Strong.
All right.
Yeah, I agree with you because I didn't even know we had this match and it's thrown together. That's how quickly it's thrown together. At the end of the day, though, Roderick is doing good things. You know, Adam Cole is probably a couple of months away, and we still have that kind of lingering line of what's going to happen with MJF and some fascinating things there. That, I mean, obviously injuries can derail just about any storyline at any point. But I do think that this is going to build up to something else and the numbers game. We're seeing Wardlow being used as the weapon of destruction right now. I think Wardlow continues to start to get over as that weapon of destruction. Of course, that's another storyline in this is when is Wardlow going to get tired of being kind of bullied and whatnot and being sculpted there. Who knows what's going to happen with that, but I think I'm going to take Roddy.
Yeah, I'm going to take Roderick Strong on this one to cover up the goatee. I'll take Roddy on this one. So, yes, it's been on Collision. I'm using a resource here, and it says that Kyle O'Reilly has had two matches in his return, one against Brian Keith and one against JD Drake. Now, Brett, you said this was an international championship match, correct?
That is correct.
He earned title on the line?
He earned that by beating those two guys.
Okay. So he comes back to the company. I understand he has previous history. I get it. We've watched NXT. We know about the history between Kyle O'Reilly and...
Are we supposed to know that history, though? I mean, is that legal? You know,
it's almost like they should probably tell us about it.
Yeah. Should they show us a clip of from NXT?
They can't.
Oh, they can't.
They can't.
Oh, copyrighted.
They can't. Anyway, I'm excited to see how Kyle O'Reilly – obviously, I haven't watched Collision, so I haven't seen his two matches. Both these guys can go in the ring. I'm excited to see how O'Reilly looks in like y'all said, his first big match in coming back. Because I was a big fan of O'Reilly, big fan of the other KO when he was in NXT with the Undisputed Era. So I'm excited for the match to see how O'Reilly looks, but I think it's cut and dry Roddy's going to win.
All right. Next matchup is the AEW Continental. We got the International in the Continental. It's almost like the Intercontinental. Oh, never mind. Okay. The AEW Continental Championship. We got Okada versus Pac in a Continental Rules match. Does anybody know what that means?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Continental Rules are... Hold on, wait. All Can't Continental cheat. Title matches are contested under Continental Rules.
Oh, with nobody at ringside.
Meaning outside interference is met with strict penalties. Is that ever? I thought that was every match, right? There's not supposed to
no.
be.
No. No, that was just in the Continental. You lost points in the Continental thing. So I don't know how you're going to lose points, but you may lose the match.
But that's what it says here. All Continental title matches are contested under Continental Rules, meaning any outside interference is met with strict penalties. But I thought outside interference is met with a disqualification. How can you get any more stricter than that?
But what if the EVP bots pull a rock and tell them they're going to fire the ref if they disqualify them?
Well, I mean,
I bet you that's because AEW watches WWE.
Yeah,
they're going to be a little busy with something else that night, so we'll see.
Either way, I'm taking Okada. I love Pac. I think this will be a good match. I don't think that it's Pac that's going to beat Okada. That's not for me. I'm going with the champion.
Yeah, I think this will be a fun match. I really like Okada. I don't really like him with the Bucks, but I like Okada. I like the Rainmaker. I'm glad he's in AEW. I just wanted him somewhere where we could see him more, and I'm glad about that. I think he wins this one. But I think it's going to be a fun match. I don't know what. You know, Pac, same thing. He came back, immediately gets a title shot. He's been asking for one, but I don't know if he really did anything to earn it. But it'll be Okada will win this one.
I agree. I'd like to see a little bit of Okada's personality development. Everybody's high on this guy as far as his wrestling skills. I haven't seen his character. Meanwhile, at the same time, I feel like we're seeing more out of I can't think of his name, but he's got his bit is he's got his phone and he plays Google Translate random things and, you know, to get his audio over. And it's funny, you know, I love that we're actually seeing more character development. I don't even think he's an All Elite guy. I think he's just, you know, there on borrowing right now. So I think Okada is the favorite, but I think Okada versus Pac is going to be a heck of a match. And that's the draw toward this match.
Yeah, Pac has been back for 4 matches since he's been back. Who cares why he's getting a championship match? It's good to see Pac back. I'm a big fan of Pac. I like Okada as well. I kind of like him with the Young Bucks. I think it because Okada can come off as that kind of prickish vibe himself, with how he kind of looks, and so he fits in with the Bucks. I kind of like what they're doing with the EVPs and with the Bucks. I'd like to see where they go with that. I'm also kind of annoyed with the Bucks, so it's kind of a mixed bag there. But in this match, give me Okada. There's no reason to take the title off Okada when you just put it on him, and not to give it to Pac, who's been back for a cup of coffee. So it's going to be a good match, but it's predictable.
Is it a coffee break match? Is that what you say, a cup of coffee?
No. I'll sit for this one. This is going to be a good match. It's
going to
be a good wrestling match.
I'm just checking. You said coffee, so I thought you might take a coffee break.
No. We haven't had a bathroom break yet.
Maybe the next one?
Well, I hope we're not getting it deep in the card.
Yeah. The next match on the card here, AEW Women's World Championship match, Timeless Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa.
You get a single black and white, Brett? Have you?
Yeah, I'm disappointed in Brett here. The IT guy, I thought he would have made the screen go black and white.
I mean, that would be cool if y'all know how to do that, but I don't know that that's.
I expected you to know how to do that.
You're the tech guy.
I mean, I can make Mr. my Net background SM. Like blur and do some other cool stuff, but I'm about going black and white. That's cool. The idea, though, if there was a way to do that. But yeah, I'm not really excited about this. I'm not a big. I mean, Thunder Rosa. I'm just not a Thunder Rosa fan. I don't know. She doesn't do it for me. I don't know her character is. I don't know what her character is supposed to be. I know she's was stripped of the title back. I guess that's why she's getting this match. I honestly haven't paid attention enough probably to know why. But I'm thinking that's why she's getting this match because. Oh, yeah, she had to relinquish it in 2022. So maybe this is just her way of getting her belt back or trying to get it back. I love Toni Storm's character. I think Toni Storm, there's either two ways that go with her. Either she's going to go against the CEO at some point, or I think Mariah May? I think she's the one that takes it off of her eventually. And goes over and she puts her over. She's coming out in the old Toni Storm thing. I think that's cool. I like that she comes out there. I don't know. That's going where I think they're going with it. So I'm going with Toni Storm here over Thunder Rosa.
There's no secret. I'm a huge Toni Storm fan. No matter what character she is, but this Timeless Toni Storm character, she's nailed it to perfection. And I love the AEW's commitment to. Whenever she comes out, wherever she is, and they even split, like when it was her and Deonna, they had Toni in black and white and Deonna in color. They have it all, you know, they break it down, and they've really committed to that, and I like that part. Thunder Rosa should be a good match. We'll see. But I think Toni Storm wins, and I like Mariah May, too. I don't think she's going to be the one to take the title. I don't think she's anywhere close to being the main champion. I think she'll maybe in a TNT or TBS title mix sometime soon, maybe. But eventually, the title's coming off Toni Storm. It's going to be Mercedes Moné whenever that time comes, I would think. Maybe someone takes it before then. Maybe Britt Baker comes back or something. But I don't think it's going to be Mariah May to take the title off of her.
I don't think it'll be the story.
Yeah, I just don't think she's ready yet. But I do. I like Mariah May, what she's doing, and them together and – Diggs, it's your turn. I picked Toni Storm. Diggs, it's your turn, but watch out for that shoe.
Yeah, you know, I can't even say her catch line. I feel like we were trying to appeal to kids here, and I'm really enjoying the Toni Storm angle. And we're talking again. I feel like KO, who's just like, oh, there's no stories, nothing going on. There's like three or four stories in this Toni Storm thing. You got the Mariah May, which is kind of them doing what they were doing back in the Attitude Era when you had that, you know, the stalker with Trish and the other girl who I can't think of offhand, who had a great career out of that angle as far as that goes.
Mickie James.
Yeah, and they're kind of going there. They're pushing the angle. You know, we have the kind of the love story with the random kissing going on right now. You're bringing back Stardom, which is like a shout out to some of Mariah May stuff. Mariah May is beautiful and great talent as far as that goes. And Thunder Rosa, I mean, the story hasn't been well developed, but it's kind of showing that they're going to probably use this to put Timeless Toni Storm over, because Thunder Rosa's angle is, she never lost the belt. Well, if she loses this match, there you go. And so I think that you're going to have Toni Storm win this match. And you just don't know what she's going to say. Even when she's in commentary, I'm paying attention, because she is just so erratic with her Tony Schiavone. Yeah, just her commentary has been fantastic throughout this. And she just randomly says inappropriate things, and it's funny. So give me Toni Storm, and I love this character.
Big fan of Toni Storm. I've been a big fan of Toni Storm from when she first got in WWE. I want to like Thunder Rosa. I really do. I really want to like her. I just don't care. I don't. I don't.
I feel the same way. I don't. It's like, what does she do? I mean, she's okay in the ring, but her character, like, what? She's got her face painted.
Hearing Thunder Rosa's in a match doesn't make me want to watch the match. Like, sure, she can wrestle, and it'll be a good match on Sunday. Absolutely. But I don't care. Like, I don't care to see her in the ring. And I hate that, because I like Thunder Rosa. Like, as I like her, I don't care to see her right now. There's been nothing. She has done nothing that is entertaining to me. But love Timeless Toni Storm. Love the gimmick. I think Mariah May is fantastic as well. I love that they have her coming out to her old music, to Tony's old music. Love it. They got me on the pay-per-view when that music hit, because I thought it was Toni Storm back to her old theme, because Mariah May looked almost identical to Toni Storm. Now, Toni Storm fills out the suit a little better than Mariah May does, but it's Mariah May still looks good in it, so I'm taking Toni Storm in this one, and I think Tony's – I mean, I don't know who's going to take the title off of Toni. There's nothing – nobody built up to really take it from her, so I don't know who's going to take it from her, but she ain't losing it anytime soon.
All right. Next up is the AEW Tag Team Championship match, a ladder match between the Young Bucks and FTR. Man, there's been some interesting, there's probably some other words, interesting build to this match. We kind of talked about a little bit off air, but I'm looking forward to this match. Anytime you have a tag ladder match, it piques my interest, but you put FTR and the Young Bucks, two of the best to ever do it really in this era, as far as tag team wrestling goes, I'm excited. I guess it's a good angle. I'm so tired of the Young Bucks and the EVPs and all that stuff, but I mean it's a good storyline. I mean they technically are the EVPs, and they're playing into that hard and having all the power, and so it's played good in this match. This is actually one of the better storylines we have. I don't like the way they use some of the footage that really didn't need it. They could have just told us some of that stuff without that. But I'm really looking for this match. I want FTR to win, but I feel like the Young Bucks are going to be sleazy and they're going to put the belts on them. So I'm going to go with the Young Bucks.
I mean, yeah, like you didn't need the footage to sell this match, because it's the Young Bucks and FTR. Like, they have a long history. This is for the titles. The Young Bucks and Tony Khan did it as obviously clapped back, and it was petty and, well, you know, whatever. But this match, the match should be fantastic. I didn't realize it was a ladder match until tonight. And so, you know, that'll be fun. The Young Bucks will win. I'm interested to see if we see Jack Perry, if he makes an appearance and joins the Young Bucks. And if that happens, that would – I mean, I still don't think they should have did what they did last week. But if Jack Perry ends up joining the Young Bucks and plays into the story, then I give him I'll give him a little bit of a pass on it. But I would think that'd be the only way, because otherwise, what's the point of, you know, if Jack Perry's not involved in this, it doesn't really make sense as other than a petty clapback. But the Young Bucks will win and be the new champions. And the whole way we got to this whole tag thing is, it was predictable, and I didn't like it. They should just have the Young Bucks. But they didn't want to have Sting lose his last match, but yeah, it is what it is. I didn't like how that whole thing went down. But I hate vacating titles for no reason, so yeah, go ahead.
But then you got Darby, who actually legitimately got hurt. So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where you got so many superstars and high-risk
offense. Darby Allin? You mean Darby Allin got hurt? No way. I mean,
can't climb Mount Olympus now or whatever, Mount Everest.
Yeah. I mean, he's lucky he hadn't hurt himself before now. I mean,
it is the shocker, but I agree with y'all. I think the Young Bucks are going to win, but we're going to get a 5-star ladder match out of it. And, you know, I think every time we have an FTR and Young Bucks match, there's always some sort of very subtle callback, kind of like we saw in the main event when you had the Shield thing. And, you know, I think in Young Bucks FTR 2, you had, you know, them going up to the top rope and realizing, oh, that's not our style, and having that internal conflict. And now you got to have them take the high risk things, which they can do. They're very good at doing that, but that's not their style. They're the ground and pound. So I think they're going to have some sort of internal conflict, and that's going to end up costing him the match. It's going to be brilliantly told, and we're going to have the Young Bucks, and I believe this will make it 2-2 now in the greatest of all time, and we'll get a round 5 in a year and a half or so before FTR retires.
Let me take you back to Full Gear 2020, first time the Young Bucks and FTR matched up, and the Young Bucks won the title over FTR. Then we had the Dynamite episode in 2022, in June of, or April of 2022, where they had the ROH World Tag Title and the AAA World Tag Title. You remember that, when FTR had those? And they defeated the Young Bucks in that one. Then, All In, just last year, we had this same match in a world title match, and FTR defeated the Young Bucks. My point being, FTR is in AEW to battle the Young Bucks. It is like Batman and Joker. It is like they will always be going at each other. You're generous, Diggs, in saying a year and a half. We just saw this in August, and we're seeing it again already. Like, there are other tag teams. We don't have to have the Bucks and FTR collide every single year. It's not as special when you see it more often.
Well, it's a dynasty too, Kyle. Not like you know, your big pay-per-view. This is just a new one. I mean, it's not one of their big 4 or 5 pay-per-views, so that's kind of surprising that you burn this in this kind of, you know, spot here.
And I think a lot of it has to do with obviously the footage that they showed last week and trying to use that as heat for this feud, but that person that was involved in it isn't even in the company. So why is that even –
it wasn't a fight between anybody in this match at all.
Nobody in this match was involved. In that incident that they showed on TV, nothing – which, to y'all's point, maybe Jack Perry shows up. But here's the thing. Even if he does, yes, Brandon, to your point, it would make more sense. I still don't care. I don't care about Jack Perry. Like, couldn't care less if he was there or not. I loved it. But, I mean, right now, there's no – what's the benefit of bringing him back? Unless you want to then try to prove your point on why you aired that footage, but it doesn't make anybody look good. So I don't, he might come back, but I don't see it. But I think the Young Bucks win because they are the EVPs and they're going to be abusing their power all over the place. And to do that, they could be champions as well. So give me the Bucks. And it's one last little finger to CM Punk because they beat his boys, FTR.
Yeah, Kyle, it doesn't make sense, but they're kind of pot committed at this point.
Yeah.
KO, I mean, much. Some of the things you say just infuriate me. I want to go and get a softball bat and go to Tatum and just
Tatum.
Go to town on you because
why are you going to Tatum?
You complain about the weirdest things, like the fact they wrestled four times in 4 years is like some sort of they're doing it too much.
Wrestled more than that.
Attitude era where we had like John Cena and Randy Orton like every other pay per view or like The Rock and like they wrestle all the time. And the fact that we've had it four times in 4 years is too much. What are you worried about?
I want to see Diggs go to Tatum and look for Kyle.
Four championship matches. They've wrestled more than that. They've wrestled
when?
What? They just wrestled tonight, or not tonight, I'm sorry, on March 9th in a tag match. FTR and the Young Bucks were on the same freaking team.
That's not March wrestling each other.
But I'm saying they're still in the same matches, though. That's what I'm saying. They've been on the screen together.
You not watch WWE and their little LWO versus like and they's all rotate. Yeah. I mean that's just
and
what
I'm
they
sick
do.
Of that too. I'm sick of that too.
Kyle's got an LWO shirt. Don't it fool you?
No, do not have an LWO shirt. I'm sick
every
of that too.
Single Young Bucks versus FTR match has been a 4 or 5 star match, and now we're doing it as a ladder match.
Next,
how can you not be intrigued by that? You know you're going to get at least a 4-star match out of this at the very least.
It's going to be a great match.
Crazy.
It's going to be a fantastic match.
A big special next. We'll have a barbed wire tables that have fire on them next time.
The Bucks have exploding super kicks, Diggs. They are superhuman.
Oh, man. Next match. It's not for the world title, but this one may be the one I'm looking forward to the most on the card. Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
That's going to be the main event.
You think so? Championship match?
Yeah, everything I've said is solid.
I was saving the championship match for last.
Yeah, but this is going to be the main event.
But I am so looking forward to this match. This is the first time they've ever met, hooked up. Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. Man, just if you put Will Ospreay in a match, just sign me up. That's all you got to say. I don't care who he's wrestling. Then you put Bryan Danielson on the other side. My goodness. It's a tough one. I think they're really pushing Ospreay. I think Danielson's just trying to wrestle all these guys. I think he puts Ospreay over here, and I'm going to go with Will Ospreay to win this match.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. This is a match that didn't need a title. You've got maybe the two best professional wrestlers in the world. This is going to be the one where we come back next week and we're all giving it 7 stars and then Diggs is going to find flaws with it. he had all these 5-star matches on this. This is going to be the one he doesn't like. Because it's going to be false finish after false finish after.
Oh, too many false finishes.
And we'll probably get some Don Callis, which I hope not, with some forks. I hope not. I just hope these two guys, and I hope we don't get outside interference in this one. I hope it's just these two guys going at it. And it's going to be a lot of false finishes, a lot of submission attempts, this is going to be fun. It's going to be get your popcorn and your beverage and sit back and watch. And
better take your bathroom break early, Kyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This match.
Yeah, this is.
I will not be getting up for this from my chair for this match.
Well, I'll be getting up from my chair probably like 50 times because this is going to be very. I think that even though it's not for a title, there'll be a lot of emotional investment in this match. And I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm gonna go with Ospreay too, but it's a toss up. But I'm gonna go with Ospreay and just looking forward to watching this match.
Yeah, Danielson has no problem putting people over. I mean, you got to really like that the lack of, you know, self there, that he's just willing to do that. He's just doing it because he loves doing it right now. And you see that. You see that with Copeland. There's just a few of them that, you know, Jericho right now. I mean, Jericho is trying to build up Hook, you know, Jericho Hook as a storyline. And just, you know, just that kind of selflessness you're seeing as an embodiment of AEW right now. It's fascinating. I didn't know who Will Ospreay was before AEW. I didn't watch his stuff in Japan. I didn't keep up with that. Jay White, all these people who, you know, got over in Japan, I had no idea who they exist. But every single Will Ospreay match has been must-see TV. Even the stuff they put on Dynamite just against, you know, Takeshita is fantastic stuff. Brian Danielson, I think we're going to get a gritty ground and pound match. And I love the storyline right now that you've got Ospreay, who's clearly a face, who is with the Don Callis family, even though he's not interacting with them, but they're still, you know, propping him up and they're having those matches. That's interesting storyline right now as well. Obviously, at some point they're going to turn on him because, you know, they got a face and the heels just aren't going to work well together. I think we're going to have at least a 4.5-star match. And I think Ospreay is going to win this match in another match of the year candidate.
Will Ospreay is quickly becoming one of, if not my favorite wrestlers. I love watching Will Ospreay. Anytime his music comes on, he's in the ring, he has a microphone, whatever. Bruv, I'm here for it. Like, I am here for Will Ospreay. Brian Danielson's one of... Yes, bro.
When that hits. Yeah.
Yes, bro. Brian Danielson is one of the best wrestlers of all time. He can absolutely go in the ring. I don't think there will be any interference. And the only reason I say that is because this is part of Brian Danielson's farewell tour and his dream matches that he wants. And I don't think there's no interference that's necessary for this. Like, let them go out there for 30 minutes and give us
a question, Kyle. You say that. So what if this is where the Don Callis family tries to come out and Ospreay like attacks them, keeps them from interfering in the match, and then this story finishes and that feeds into the next story, maybe.
Because yeah, I don't know if
Callis not come out. It's like his guy. You know, it's like they have to be out there. So well, I don't know
if he'll actually stop anything, but they may interfere, and then after the match, we could see Ospreay turn on them. But yeah. I don't know if he'll stop it.
I think I definitely see him having some kind of something, especially since y'all just talked about the face heel thing. Maybe this is where they kind of spin into that feud here.
Yeah, I think it's
going to be. Hopefully it doesn't interfere with the match, though. I'm with you guys.
Mm-mm. I think it's the match of the night easily. I think it's a match of the year candidate. And I just, like I said, I just hope that they get 30 minutes out there to tell us a story and give us an absolute classic, and which I know it will be. It'll be a fire match. But Ospreay, I think, wins. I think, like you said, Diggs, Danielson is in the business right now of putting people over. He's putting everybody he can over on his way out. He is completely fine with his back on the mat looking up at the lights. He is completely okay with that. As long as it's a banger match, and I think it will be. So give me Ospreay, bro.
All right.
One of my favorite things about Danielson matches, too, is when Nigel calls him a clam digger. I still think we're setting up for them two against each other at Wembley, and I can't wait to see that because I've heard they put on classics, and looking forward to – I'd like to see Nigel back in the ring. So, but first I want to see this one. And also, before we move on to the other match, Diggs mentioned Jericho, and I wanted to bring that up tonight too. Have y'all, if you watch Dynamite, you know this too, but Jericho right now is getting no reaction from the crowd unless he comes out to Judas, which he doesn't anymore. He doesn't come out to Judas anymore, and he's not getting booed, he's not getting cheered, he's just getting, it's flat when he comes out. Like, nobody cares about Jericho right now.
Why would they do that? And not bring him out to Judas if he gets no reaction.
Because he's doing the Hook stuff, so they've had tag team it's with Hook and Shibata, so he hasn't always been coming out by himself. Or if he does, he a couple times he's come out to no music. But he's also been doing the Lionheart music a lot, and it's just like he's flat right now, and I think his time is quickly dwindling. And
even the stuff that happened with Hook on Dynamite, like that, they were only together for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then he basically screws it up, and now Hook's mad at him. Like,
yeah, I'm
already kind of blowing that up.
Yeah, I'm interested to see tonight what the thing that happens with them and Taz, and see how that goes, and see, you know, because yeah, I can get behind a Jericho Hook match, but stop with the Lionheart stuff. Give us Judas at least, otherwise you're irrelevant.
Could you see him going back to WWE?
I mean, I think
to finish his run.
I think
Triple H is in charge.
And, I think he'll have at least one more match for Hall of Fame before Hall of Fame.
And will they let him bring Judas? Or will he go back to his old music that he was in WWE with, the Y2J music?
Or bring back the list?
I don't know. I think he goes back now. I think that things have cleared up. I think Jericho goes back at some point and finishes it.
If he comes back, I think it's just like for a quick Rumble and Mania match and a Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah.
But I do think he'll end in WWE, yes.
And he could be one of those that like has a little faction that he helped put some guys over, maybe some NXT talent that comes up. Something. Yeah,
I don't know if he'll be around that long.
Well, I know, but I think that it could use him in that way.
Yeah.
To bring him back. I like Jericho's act. I think he's better as a heel though, honestly. Like his music's so over, they're always gonna sing to it, but I think the groups he had kind of was what, you know, got AEW's going. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. But that's a good point. I haven't heard it much, but if they don't, I'm pumped when Judas' music hits. That gets me hyped. So if he's not coming out with that, I could see. Yeah.
I'm with you though, Brandon. I've thought that too the past few weeks. Like, there's nothing. Now, I know there was something to a couple months back where he was alleged for some things that may have affected that as well. But even since then, like, there's just been, that's the worst. Either boo me or cheer me, but no reaction is the worst, because that means these people just absolutely don't care if you're there. And I'm a big fan of Jericho, and I'm with y'all. I think Jericho eventually ends up back in WWE to finish out his career. I don't know how much time he has left on his contract in AEW. I don't know when it's up. But honestly, though, what would there be for him to do in WWE? Like, I mean, he could come back part-time, I guess. But WWE's kind of they're not using legends like that so much anymore, where
The Rock?
Well, we don't know. Was it Triple H? Well,
they just use him like that. I mean, I don't know.
He's the different head of the TKO. Like, I mean, well,
true. But
I'm not the head. I'm sorry. He's on the board.
But yeah, I mean, they could use him in something. But
they bring people in back for their Hall of Fame induction. Like, I could see just them come in the Rumble, do a quick Mania match, and then get him inducted to the Hall of Fame that weekend, and he's done.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a long time thing with him back in WWE. But I think he does come back,
and you could use him to put someone over. So
AEW, didn't they sign a lot of people to a 5-year deal when they first started? So some of these people's contracts should start coming up, I think, here pretty shortly. I'm not dirt cheap Brandon. I don't have that, you know, information. But
yeah, Brandon, what's contract status on Jericho? What are your sources?
I don't know how I gained this moniker.
That's your new persona, dirt cheap Brandon.
Dirt cheap Brandon.
Yeah.
And even going into that angle, I agree that he's going face heel too much. I mean, he's flipped 3 or 4 times. I mean, he was with Sammy, and it's like every angle they pick face heel, face heel, face heel. And I mean, they have an instant one storyline. They could have Jericho versus Cody in WWE and probably do all kinds of crazy things with that and call back to AEW smart marks kind of a thing. And they would be fine with that kind of a storyline. But, you know, Jericho, every time we think he's down, he finds a way to reinvent himself. So, you know, it's this is not working. And I'm sure he knows it's not working. I'm sure he'll finish playing it out. And you never know what we'll see out of him next.
Yeah. All right. AEW World Championship match. Phyllis, Samoa Joe defends against whose house?
Swerve's house.
Okay. Just a little teaser there. Swerve Strickland. This has been kind of going back and forth. We had Hangman in the middle of this. Now Swerve's got his opportunity by himself. What I don't want to see is Hangman Adam Page come out and interfere this match. I don't want to see that. I'm done with that. They've basically went in each other's homes and almost tried to kill each other. Maybe if Swerve gets the title, maybe we see that run back. But for now, I think this is Swerve's time. I'm going with Swerve Strickland to take the title over Samoa Joe right here, guys.
Just everything I've seen is that this isn't the main event. It's going to be Danielson and Ospreay. When I looked at the match a while ago, that could change. But if this is not the main event, I don't think Swerve wins. I'd like to see Swerve win. And so I'm going to make a pick. I reserve the right to change that pick on Sunday. Because if this is the main event, Swerve wins. If it's not, he doesn't. This total pick is based on match placement. So I'm assuming it's not the main event. I'm picking Samoa Joe. If I see it's the main event on Sunday, I will text you. And my pick, if it's the main event, my pick is Swerve. But I will text you if I see it's the main event, and I will be picking Swerve. But I'm assuming it's not the main event, and that's where I assume Samoa Joe wins. And I don't know. And Swerve doesn't get his title shot yet. He does something else. And eventually, hopefully, one day we'll come back and get his title. But I don't know what they'll do with Joe next. I sort of just don't see a big this pay-per-view doesn't seem like the one that they're going to change the world title on, and especially if it's not the main event. So I'm going to pick Samoa Joe. I like the story they've told here, especially a couple weeks ago with the contract signing and the blood and Swerve signing the contract with his blood and saying, is that all you got? And Joe coming back and delivering some more. And I'm looking forward to this match. I really like Swerve. Music in the ring, outside the ring, with the mic. I'd love to see him with a title. And like I said, if it's the main event, I think he will get it, because that would be an awesome way to end the show. But I'm going under assumption this is not the main event, and I'll pick Samoa Joe.
This match is the encapsulation of what I love about AEW, and it's also probably what KO might find as problematic about AEW, is that there are so many superstars. And I think if we were listing superstars from like 1 to 20 in ranking, if we were going to do like a WWE draft style, Samoa Joe and Swerve are probably not even in the top 10. If we're being honest about big names in AEW, are you not going to pick Copeland? Are you not going to pick Brian Danielson, Moxley, Kenny Omega? I mean, there are so many big stars. Ospreay, there are so many big stars in AEW. It's really hard to like say, okay, these are your MJF, you know, these are your two big ones. And they're still letting the championship be about really good wrestling and not necessarily about historical accolades and whatnot. So I think Swerve is hot. You gotta strike while the iron is hot, because, you know, as we're kind of seeing with the Acclaimed, a flame can go out real quick. You know, you can be hot and then not be hot. So right now I think he is hot. I think I saw somebody at WWE do the Swerve dance at one point. We're seeing it is over. The music is over. His talent is over. You got to give him the championship, whether it's match number 12 or 13 on the card. I'm taking Swerve to win.
I know you're going to be surprised by this, Diggs, but I'm going to disagree with you by saying that Swerve and Joe aren't top 10. Right now on television, Kenny ain't there. MJF ain't there. There's two of them that are out. Adam Cole's not there. Like, Copeland, sure, he's a big name, but for me personally, I'm a huge fan of Swerve. I love Swerve. I would put, for me personally, in my power rankings, I would have Swerve and Ospreay 1 and 2 for me. That's just me personally. So for me, this match is awesome. I'm with you, Brandon. It depends on match placement. If it's the main event, Swerve's winning the championship, because he would be the first black champion for AEW. So there's a historical event there. That's why you could use that as creating a new dynasty for the future. So that could be tied into the pay-per-view. So if it's main event, I think Swerve wins it. If it's not main event, I think Joe retains. And I think, as much as I don't even want to say it because I don't want to put it out there, but if Joe wins, I think there's some interference from Hangman. And I'm with you. I'm sick of it. I don't care to see it anymore. I'm over it. But I think if it's not the main event, we see interference from Hangman, and it ruins Swerve's chance.
I haven't even watched AEW a whole lot lately, and I'm over it. that's how much it. I mean, I've skimmed through a lot of the shows to try to keep up, just because I've been so busy, and I've seen enough of it. So I know.
Well, it's just like, why does Hangman get an opportunity? Swerve's has beaten him every time, like every time that he's challenged him for anything here recently, Swerve has won. I'm not going to keep beating you. Go to the back of the line and wait. Just because you interfere doesn't mean I'm going to have. So then I have to have a match with you every time. Leave me alone. Like, I've beat you already.
Well, you just keep attacking somebody, and they just keep giving you title matches, Kyle. That's how it works.
That is wrestling 101. Yes. Interfere, you get a title match.
You want a title match? Just go beat up the champion 18 times until he just, okay, I'm challenging you.
Or throw a chair at her head and make her vacate the title. Too soon?
I have tons of opinions on that, but we won't get into that tonight.
Oh, man. Well, we can talk about that. Our next show, we'll come on next week and we'll talk about this. And then we'll also have the draft to talk about. So, be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Draft. I just hope they actually do an actual draft this year.
Doesn't that start?
It starts
26th.
Yeah, it does.
Next Friday.
We'll kind of give a little glimpse of it after we talk about the pay-per-view dynasty, and then we'll do a recap later about how we think it went and everything. But man, lots of things coming up though, guys. It's gonna be busy. Kyle's doing some. You're doing tomorrow softball. Yeah,
Lone Oak and Reigns
Tatum?
For Reigns. Yeah, in Tatum.
For Reigns,
senior night. DFW zone, Diggs. Emery Reigns.
DFW zone.
Hey, Emery, you know, Reigns. The Reigns coach is going to be someone we're going to be this weekend, Kyle.
I mentioned that on last night.
All Star Game. We'll have everybody. Brandon will be there. Kyle will be there. I'll be there.
Diggs.
Jeremy will be there. Diggs, you're gonna
want to watch some East Texas.
I'm not invited to this.
Diggs can judge the dunk contest.
Yeah,
Diggs can be a judge.
Yeah.
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 Huh?
Yeah. I even have his shirt. If I ever see him, I've got his Nettison shirt for him. It's been riding around in my car. I just, he didn't ever make it this.
And you got free food if you come to the WAG.
Yeah. There you go. Entertainment, food, dunks, three-point shootout contest, great basketball.
And you get to judge what you're great at. So
where's the free food?
I am great at judge.
Kyle, where's the free food?
Hmm? I'm using your media credentials to get free food.
Where are we getting this food at?
Kyle's buying everybody free food. That's what he just said.
Kyle is not.
Come on out. Dinner's on Kyle.
Kyle is not doing that. I'm assuming the WAG will have food, right? They'll be cooking something. No,
probably not. But
I got some nachos for you, Diggs.
That's all right.
The concession stand open.
Well, that's gonna do it for tonight's episode of Off the Ropes, episode 23. We nice little preview of the Dynasty pay per view this weekend. Again, we'll be back next week to review the show. And maybe talk some little WWE draft. So make sure you go check out all our stuff. We've got our Off the Ropes. For Brandon Ogden, KO Kyle Owens, and the Professor Matt Diggs, I'm Brett Swinney. Signing off. We'll see you next time here on Off the Ropes. Everybody have a great rest of your week and a great wrestling weekend.
Knees impossible. Jump to a grip. I don't sweat, but I grip. Make no move. This a grip. Very fast. This a hit. This a hit. 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 Dog. Rich. 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 Chin. Use it. This a hit. Turn table. You get hit. Hot rope. Catch a vibe. Catch a foot. When I drive. Big pressure. I'm fine. Injury. strength, you won't survive. Yeah, I swear when I try. Yeah, I swear when I try. Yeah, I swear when I try. You're me, you don't survive. Talk, talk, catch a vibe. Catch a foot when I drive. Big pressure, I'm high. In the ring, you won't survive. Yeah, I swear when I try. Yeah, I swear when I try. Yeah, I swear when I try. You're me, you don't survive. Talk. Top.